going to be quiet in the house. I come from Lyman, so we talk to each other where we're at, right? Well, friends, I want to thank you, first of all, before we get into this. Pastor Chris, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity and the honor to share in this sacred desk. It truly is an honor. As we were worshiping tonight, and I don't know about you, but when I worship, many times God just downloads stuff into my spirit, just downloads. Well, tonight was a download overload. And as we were singing, the Lord just brought it to my attention. We were singing the Dry Bones, Awaken. And the Lord just showed me we spend so much time standing and speaking to someone else's dry bones, but we forget to speak to our own. We forget to speak to our own. Because it's easier to point out someone else who's dry, someone else who is weary, someone else who is weak, when we ourselves are dying on the vine. Sometimes we need to prophesy to our own self. Sometimes we need to speak to our own spirit and say, spirit, self, come on, it's time to wake up. So that's one thing he downloaded. And the other thing he spoke to me is that we've got to pass Pentecost down to the next generation. Stood there and I was listening. See, you're supposed to be focused on God. I was watching the kids down here. I don't know what you guys are doing, but keep doing it. Keep doing it. As you research and you study the scriptures, there's so much failure for sending things forward. Look at Samuel. Even his own sons, and he was a mighty man of God, even his own sons didn't follow God in the way that he did. Friends, we've got to pass it forward. Pass it forward. Give these kids, give your grandkids, give your nieces and your nephews, give them an opportunity to taste and see that God is good. Tell me what's going to happen if you take a newborn child, and don't ever do this, but if you do it, it's all right. Listen, if you take a newborn child, right, and you just give them just a little bitty taste of pop, what do you think is going to happen? They're going to acquire a taste for that, right? I say give them a taste of the anointing. Give them a taste of the Holy Spirit. Give them a taste and let them acquire a taste for the Holy Spirit, friends, and they'll just press on. That's why it's so imperative that we send this thing on. So those are just a few things, and those weren't even the notes. But it's an honor to be here with you tonight. Friends, history is important, isn't it? History is very, very important. I believe that this church is coming up on 40 years. 40 years. This church was founded. And not just founded because someone just decided to start a church. This place was founded upon the anointing and upon the power of the Holy Spirit. You guys in this church, if you've been here for very long, you know that there have been great moves of the Holy Spirit sweep through this house. How many Radiant Life people do I have here tonight? You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. History is very, very important, and that's why we have to look back in order to move forward. My wife and I had the privilege of being at Lima First for really the past 9 months now. And as we began to look at the history of that church, we found it interesting that in really the 1920s, a pastor from Wales came to Lima. And he began to preach the gospel, and soon a church was started. And he was so well-versed in God's word and discipleship that many people came around because they were hungry for God's word back in the 20s. But here's what I found interesting. In about 1932, he found that he had been teaching God's word with such detail and such accuracy that people got to be a little bit more hungry than the average Joe, if you will. The problem is, this pastor from Wales would not teach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit for fear that it would divide the church. He was so scared in Lima to preach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit because he didn't want his church to be divided. He was afraid of it. Well, how many know that you never should be afraid of something that God has for you? We should never be afraid of it. Well, in 1932, a group of folks got really, really, really hungry for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and they just wanted to be taught about it. And they came to the pastor, I don't remember what his name was, but the pastor from Wales, they came to him and said, "Hey, listen, can you bring someone in? Can you do something?" And he said, "You know what? I'm going to arrange it." And so what he did, he arranged for a meeting, an evangelistic meeting with people he knew that had the baptism in the Holy Spirit. They're going to teach it. But he decided that weekend he was going to leave town so he would not get blamed for what was about to happen. So guess what? I found this interesting. You may know this, Rusty. He brought in a couple evangelist gals from Dayton Bethel Temple. Came all the way, and they gathered some people from Lima, and they went to a evangelistic outreach meeting. And in 1932, several members of that congregation were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that is how Lima First Assembly of God was started right there. It was started because of an outpouring. The problem that we have today in our churches, it's the same way. Back in the 1920s, people are so afraid to talk about it. They're afraid to explain it. They're afraid to let the Spirit move because people aren't going to understand it. And what happens is, and you and I are guilty of it, we bring somebody to church and we're so afraid, and we start to pray, "Oh dear God, please," and we go into the fetal position, "Please don't let Gene Sickman give a word in tongues, please, oh God." Am I right or am I right? You know that person that they're going to be willing to move and operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and you're praying, you brought a friend to church and you're praying, "Oh God, please don't let it happen this Sunday." And we miss the whole thing because the Word of God says that tongues are a sign for the unbeliever. We're so afraid that God's going to mess our process up and thus nullifying the power that God's people should be having and operating in the first place. That's why we are here. We're a continuation of the book of Acts. We're living in Acts right now. It's just being written as we go on. But can I tell you, there's going to be something written in this continuation of Acts that a group of people in Ohio sought out to seek God. They pressed in and prayed and fought through the enemy's camp. Friends, can I tell you, there's going to be a group of people that rise up and truly believe that God will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh in the last days. You see, Joel prophesied it. "I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams." How many old men do we have here? Come on, I'm creeping up on that camp right there. Old men will dream dreams. Young men will see visions. How many young men do we have in the house? Rusty, you're still in that camp. I'll give it to you. "Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days." Joel prophesied about it. Jesus told him about it. While he was eating with them in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 5, Jesus told them about it. He gave this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait." Everybody say wait. "But wait for the gift my Father promised." And you've heard me speak about, "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And in Acts chapter 2, we see the fulfillment of that. Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together and in one place. And suddenly, say suddenly. Can I tell you, we've had some suddenlies. It's all right to do this, right? We've had some suddenlies at Lima First. We've had some suddenlies. We just happened to be finishing up today in a series called The Gifts. Before that, a series called The Holy Spirit Series. We get really original where we're at. Can I tell you, just today alone, and that's not counting what else has happened, just today alone, we surpassed all of last year of what's happened with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Yes. Yes. 2 weeks ago, we started talking and speaking and breaking down 1 Corinthians 12. And we got to faith, healing, and miracles, Pastor Chris. And as I'm speaking, and it's on healing, as I'm speaking, I see something happening in the back. You see, pastors, we think we act like we ignore everything. We see everything that's going on, right? And we just go on. We think about Krispy Kreme donuts when we're preaching. Well, all kinds of stuff. At least I do. I don't know about you. I do. And so right back here, right back in the back, I could see something moving, something happening. And there was a stirring going on. And I'm speaking on miracles. I'm speaking on healing. And as we're talking about miracles and God raising up and that gift being used, all of a sudden a woman shows up in the center aisle and she comes hobbling down the middle aisle. What no one knew is that woman had not walked since August, and nobody laid a hand on her. We didn't call her forward. That woman started walking right up the center aisle. God started moving in miracles, and we didn't even have, Benny Hinn wasn't even in the house. Right? No one waved a jacket at nobody. God just did it on himself. God did it right there. In first service, a lady was sitting right over here in the corner. She had struggled with the after effects from shingles since 2013. Nobody knew. Just pain all up her side and in her back. God kind of tapped her on the shoulder and he said, "How about you?" And she whispered back, "Okay." Tuesday, this was a Sunday. Tuesday, knocks on the door of the office. She'd been to the office twice, and I wasn't available. The first time, her and her husband came and sat down. She said, "Pastor, you're never going to guess what happened. I waited till Tuesday to tell my husband because I didn't want to think it was myself. I have not had one pain since then." You see, when we embrace the moving of the Holy Spirit, he'll do it. He'll do it. But we're so afraid of having to explain something that we don't know how to explain. Can I say, just embrace it? Because if you know everything about God, then you don't need God. There's a mystery of heaven. There's a characteristic and a distinction of us who are Pentecostals. That doesn't mean you got to handle snakes and drink Kool-Aid. It doesn't mean that. But it does mean that we're supposed to be peculiar people. We're supposed to be salt and light. We're supposed to be endued and filled with power. And that's what happened in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, the sound of the blowing of a mighty wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And the Bible says this, and all of them were filled. Say filled. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, here's what's interesting about the word filled. The Greek word for filled is pletho, not pleido, pletho. Not Plato, pletho, right? And this means to influence. All of them were influenced with the Holy Spirit. Y'all with me? You got to look to the deeper meaning of words. It means supply. All of them were supplied with the Holy Spirit. I like this one. Accomplish. All of them were now accomplished because the Holy Spirit came upon them. But here's the money one. I love this one. Furnished. And all of them were furnished with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. How would you love to have a brand new house? Think about it. Close your eyes. Think about it right now. The house of your dreams. Right? I see smiles coming on everybody's face. Because you're there right now. You're like, right? But now, think about it. That house has nothing in it. It's unfurnished. You don't have anything to go in it. Can I tell you? As the children of God, we've got to be furnished with the Holy Spirit. We've got to be filled to overflowing and not be ashamed about it. Don't hide it. You remember that old little song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine? Hide it under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. But the problem is today is we've gotten so relevant that I'm afraid if we're not careful, we'll become irrelevant to God. Do you hear what I said? We've fought so hard to be relevant to our culture that if we're not careful, we could very well become irrelevant to God. Because the way we do church now, we don't need God. All we need is some smoke. Not that there's anything wrong with that, because I like the smoke that's in the room, right? I get it. Yeah. Have it in youth. That's right. It's all good. But when we rest on that alone, there's a problem. Yep. There's a problem. Yep. Now look at this. I want to give you some facts, quick facts here today. I only have 100 pages of notes, so we're getting close, right? Holy Spirit fact number one. Look at your neighbor and say fact number one. If you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit is already in you. We've had sloppy theology. And listen, I grew up in the AG all my life. Cut my teeth on the pews at Wood River. First Assembly of God on 9th Street Hill in Wood River, Illinois. We've had sloppy theology. I hear people saying all the time, well, you got to be baptized, and you got to have the Holy Spirit in order to be a Christian. Can I tell you, that's only a partial truth, because what they're referring to is speaking in tongues. If you are a Christian, if you ask Christ to come and be the Lord and Savior of your life, to forgive you of all your sins, you confess with your mouth that He is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised you from the dead, you are saved. Plain and simple. And it's at that moment, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes and sets up camp right within you. You've got the Holy Spirit. Everybody take a deep breath. You do not have to speak in one tongue at all to get saved. At all to be saved. You do not have to do that. But my question is, why wouldn't you want to if God has it available for you? If you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit is already in you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 says this: don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was already given to you by God? You don't belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. The Holy Spirit is already in you. When you're saved, if you're saved here tonight, you got the Holy Spirit. Right? We established that all across the room. Holy Spirit fact number two. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is different from the indwelling. The Holy Spirit is already dwelling within you, but the baptism in the Holy Spirit is something that is entirely different. And some folks, it amazes me, Pastor Chris, the amount of tension and the arguing and the anger that comes forth when you talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. People are writing books, it's strange fire and all these different, can I tell you, good grief, why in the world would you speak against something which you really don't know anything about? And that's really what's happening. Something that has caused the church to be birthed and to be unified is now being used by the devil to bring disharmony and disunity. This whole teaching about cessationism, that the baptism in the Holy Spirit and miracles ceased, it stopped at the apostolic age. It's crazy. And what they use is, they'll use 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. It says this: love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Ah, I got it! To use the scripture against some sort of power, and it's almost like they're excited about it. For where there are tongues, they're going to be stilled. Yes, I knew it. Where there's knowledge, it's going to pass away. I knew God doesn't work like that anymore. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? But verse 10, we forget about this. Verse 9 and 10, for we know in part, but we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. What he's talking about is completeness. What is completeness? When we arrive in heaven. When we arrive in heaven, we're not, obviously, Captain Obvious is in the house. It will cease when we get to heaven. That's the part that they miss. Holy Spirit, fact number two, the baptism is different from the indwelling. Let me move on. Holy Spirit, fact number three, the Holy Spirit will empower you.
Yes.
But look at this. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive what?
Power.
You'll receive weakness. Does it say that?
No.
You'll become weaker if you get the baptism in the Holy Spirit? No way, Jose. That's Spanish for no way. Right? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power. Everybody say power. Power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. The problem that we've gotten in church today, though, is that we've gotten sloppy with our punctuation, and I've even taught on this, Pastor, and it's wrong teaching a long time ago. The baptism in the Holy Spirit, well, it's power to be a witness. That's partially true. But can I tell you, it's more than just to be a witness. Because I've met plenty of people who are witnesses and they don't have the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Hello? This word power, it's dunamis power. It means, that power means strength, ability, inerrant power, power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature or by which a person or thing exerts and puts forth. It means power for performing miracles. We don't think about that. Miracle working power when we get baptized in the Holy Spirit. It also means moral power and excellence of soul. We don't think about it like this, but when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, He helps you to be an overcomer to resist the temptation and overcome addiction and overcome things that we're not supposed to do. Let's move on. Holy Spirit fact number four. The Holy Spirit, when He comes on you, He'll transform you. He'll transform you. Remember that guy named Saul back in Acts chapter 9? He was very zealous and he was trying his best to destroy the church, right? He was getting letters from the chief priests and he was going around imprisoning all the... We don't think about all this stuff about the new church age. We just think about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We think about the miracles. We don't think about all the people who were imprisoned, all the people who were tortured, all the people that were put to death. And this guy Saul was approving of everything that happened. But how many know when God has a plan, He does it right? So here was this Saul guy in Acts chapter 9. He was cruising on his way to put more people in jail. And the Bible says God met him, and He knocked him off of his high horse, so to speak. He fell to the ground, and he heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now get up, and I'll tell you what you're supposed to do." For 3 days he was blind and he didn't eat or drink anything. God got a hold of him. We'll fast forward another 10 chapters and we'll see Saul turned into Paul. You see, when God gets a hold of you, He'll change everything about you. When the Holy Spirit comes over you, He'll change everything about you. And in his case, Saul became Paul. And in Acts chapter 19... it says this, that God did extraordinary miracles through Paul so that even handkerchiefs, that's crazy stuff, handkerchiefs and aprons that touched him were taken to the sick and their illness were cured and evil spirits left them. You see, we don't want to talk about that stuff today because that stuff doesn't happen in America. Hey, listen. My Africa crew, we can take you to different places of the world and we'll show you exactly what it's talking about. And you'll be standing in the middle of Africa and you'll be saying, "We aren't in Kansas anymore, Toto." That's exactly what you'd be saying. We don't see these things because we really don't believe these things are happening today. And can I tell you, all it's doing is giving the room for the enemy to hide. But I will tell you, there's a generation that's coming that'll be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and has the word of prophecy upon their lips that will expose the darkness. Hello? So listen, let's get down to this real quick. Because I don't want us to really leave this place tonight thinking and just having the assumption, okay, well, here we're at a Pentecostal service. We're at a Pentecostal service, and so everybody here has been baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's the greatest, greatest tragedy that could ever happen tonight. We've got to understand this. We've got to understand that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is a free gift. You don't need to convince God to give it to you. He's already determined and decided to baptize you, even tonight. Do you hear what I said? Yep. Even tonight, he's decided to baptize you. And can I tell you, of those of you, there's people in this room that you write on the checklist of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit at Big Prairie in 1972. Check. It's like an event that you check off. Can I tell you, it's not an event. It's a life-changing encounter that happens and is supposed to develop every single day of your life. Not something that you check off at one portion of your life and said, oh yeah, I already went to that class. I already did that. God already did that for me. Friends, can I tell you, there's fillings, there's refillings, there's refreshings. This past Wednesday night, we have a service once a month on Wednesday night. It's called Hunger and Thirst. And it's the conclusion at Lima First. It's the conclusion of our corporate three-day fast. You're not supposed to talk about it. Friends, how can you have a corporate fast unless you talk about it? All right, let's relax. So it's the end of a corporate fast. And, you know, fasting isn't fun. I hear people say, oh, I'm so excited for the fast. And I'm like, are you insane? Everybody wants to eat. Come on. Yeah, see, I know. I got a friend over here. And it was the conclusion of our Hunger and Thirst night. God had just been moving, and we've been praying through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And all I know is that the Holy Spirit moved on my heart, and I moved away from everybody. When you're a preacher and you need a touch from the Lord, you move away from everybody else because everybody thinks that you're filled with the Holy Spirit all the time. You're 100% full all the time. It's just not true. Pastors leak too, right? So I came over here. No one's around. And as soon as I touched my feet to the first steps, my hands went up in the air and God moved on me and filled me up. And the next thing I know, 1, 2, 3, 4 people were surrounded around me and God just began to move. Friends, can I tell you, just because you had a checkbox when you were in college or a checkbox when you were at junior high camp doesn't mean that you don't need a refreshing now here today.
Yes.
Maybe you're here tonight and you're just dry. When we sing dry bones, that just checked in your spirit. Friends, can I tell you, if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, the well is there. You just need to go get a bucket. You need to get a bucket and get down in the bottom of that stand and start shoveling out a few bits of sand, and sure enough, you're going to hit water. Rivers of living water, you're going to hit it. Don't neglect the refreshing of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 3, I believe it is, tells us this, that if we repent and turn to God, that times of refreshing will come. So that just means this, if there's times that we are weary, it's just simply our fault. Right? See, no one talking to me about them because you just hit a chord. So how do you receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit? I'm going to wrap this up real quick because we're going to get to the good stuff. How do I receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Number one, you simply pursue Jesus. You pursue Jesus. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. Once he was eating with them, he commanded them, don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, because John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's a free gift from God. What I find is that the Word of God tells us that he visited over 500 during the time that he rose from the dead till the time he ascended into heaven. 500. But only 120 came to the upper room. That means only 24% really pressed in. Friends, you're here tonight because you're a part of that 24%. You're here tonight because you want more of the Holy Spirit. You're here tonight because you've tasted and you've seen that the Lord is good. You're here tonight because you need a refreshing from the Lord. You're here tonight because you may be weary and you know you've come to a place, you've come to the right spot to where God can redig that well in your spirit. He can fill you to once again. He can renew those dreams and visions and revelations that He give you that seem to have gone dry, seem to have gone silent. You know you've come to a place. You're part of that 24%. You see, this baptism in the Holy Spirit, how do you receive it? You just simply got to pursue Him. It's a free gift. So pursue Him. If I were to say, hey, listen, can you hold this for me? I'll pay you. And I would say, I'll give you a $25 Starbucks gift card if you just hold that for me. You'd be like, okay. It would have been compensation, right? You would have been compensated for something. It's not a free gift. If you've got to work for it, it's not a free gift. But if I say something like this, hey, listen, the very first person that comes up here and grabs this out of my hand, you can have this here tonight. It's a $25 gift card. Wow, you went after it, son. You went after it. Hold on a second. Whoa. See, this is how, look at you. You just got pastor points right there, son. I'm telling you what. Can I tell you, basically, you just gave that to your pastor. That's exactly what you did right there. Hallelujah. Here's what we've got to understand. There's some of you here tonight, you feel like the Holy Spirit's been dangled out in front of you. And it's almost like a game. Oh, you almost got it. Friends, God doesn't work like that. He's already decided to baptize you. He's already decided, because you're His child, He desired to furnish you with power and authority and miraculous power. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. You pursue Jesus. You don't pursue the pastor. You don't pursue an evangelist. You just simply pursue Jesus. You go after Him. You see, the rules haven't changed. If you're truly hungry, you're going to pursue Jesus. Rules haven't changed. How do you receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Once you pursue Him, the Holy Spirit's going to come on you. Plain and simple. Holy Spirit will come on you. There's going to be a time in there you sense something shifting, something happens. You all of a sudden you're just keenly aware that God is there. The scriptures repeatedly demonstrates that God responds to our pursuit of Him. Look at James chapter 4. Come close to God and He will what? Run away from you? No, come close to God and He will come close to you. And this principle applies to every single transaction that we make with God. He has given us to choose our freedom to choose our destiny. And when we choose Him, He responds to us. Look at it. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven, right? They were pressing in to Him. Well, how will I know? Well, if you're pursuing Jesus by asking Him to reveal Himself as the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, and you begin to sense this indefinable presence descend on you, be confident that God is answering your prayer. You know when the Holy Spirit is near. You may not be able to identify what He's up to, but you know that God is there. We were in our second service today. We have two services in. One is always, seems like it's distinctly different, still good, but man, second service, there was a wave of God's presence that filled the room where we were at. You will just know, and God moved on the house. You may have a physical or emotional response. Perhaps you're sensing God draw near to you. In any event, you will suddenly be aware of His presence in a manner that you wasn't there just a moment before. Be assured that your moment has come. How do I receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit? You pursue Jesus. The Holy Spirit will then, when you pursue Him, He'll come on you. But then you've got to simply cooperate. And this right here is where many people drink a big cup of Coca-Cola. Right? We choke right here because we don't understand what's getting ready to happen. And when we don't understand something, we take a step back. Friends, we've got to learn to cooperate with the Holy Spirit by speaking out. What do you do when you sense the Holy Spirit come upon you? You do exactly what the Book of Acts recipients did. Everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. On Acts chapter 10, and I'm wrapping this up right now. I see people like, it's kind of warm in here, and I need to take a nap, right? Acts chapter 10, verse 44, as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message, all. Acts chapter 19, then Paul laid his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit, He came upon them, and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. When the Spirit came upon them, the Acts recipients cooperated with the Holy Spirit, choosing, everybody say choosing. They chose to speak out in tongues as He enabled them. But here's the thing we got to realize. Who is actually speaking this unknown tongue? Every reference to speaking in tongues as you look in the Bible, every reference tells us that the person did the speaking, not the Spirit. Every single reference. And for some of us, we stop because this is where we don't know, and we're so afraid. We stop and we say, well, what if it is me? Friends, it is. It is. Some of us wait for this moment right here. I don't even know how to make this thing work. There we go, right here. I think. I don't even know. How do you make this bad boy work, right? Hey, I'm just grabbing her up the back of the head right here. That's good. I don't even know. But sometimes we're trying to respond, and we'll get this far. We're like, oh, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Right? And this is okay. But we're afraid because the very next moment we sense the Holy Spirit. It's almost like the Lord is going to come and be the puppeteer and all of a sudden control our mouth. And make us, it's like a holy ventriloquist. And God's going to possess, and all of a sudden, He's going to be the one speaking. He's going to be the one saying. He's going to be the one making you move your mouth. Friends, that is not the case. You see, it's called divine cooperation. It is a matter of trust. And some people have come in. We had an evangelist when I was growing up. There you go. I had an evangelist come to my home church. And I wanted to be baptized in the Holy Spirit so bad. So bad. We had these old-fashioned altars like this all across the front of my church. Those were back in the days when you had Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and Tuesday and Thursday, and everybody was, you know, we lived at church. That's how I grew up. You had this evangelist come in, and he spoke on the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and I wanted so desperately, I don't know if I've even told you this, I wanted so desperately to be filled with the Holy Spirit because even though I was raised in it and I saw what happened and I had a knowledge of it, I still hadn't encountered it for myself. For whatever reason, this guy lined up people all across the front, and I knew that moment. Even as a child, I wasn't much older than you. How old are you? 10. Probably 11. He said this evangelist, I don't even know what his name is. All right, raise your hands up in the air. And one by one, I kid you not, there was no pressing into the Holy Spirit. There was no, all right, just take a few moments and let's just wait on the Lord. There was nothing like that. He literally, I'm not kidding, went down the line. You got it, 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 you got it. All the way down the line, and he hit me in the head. And I looked at him and I'm like, I ain't got nothing. And I left that place disheartened and disillusioned, even as an 11-year-old. And I knew, you didn't do anything. I knew that day as a young person that that person, whoever he was, he may have had good intentions, but he ruined it for me in that moment. Because he was more, he wanted more of the, I got it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and so he can write it on his general counsel card. And I missed it that day because someone wasn't willing to come to an old-fashioned altar and pray with me and pray through. Can I tell you, that's not going to happen tonight. I got my pastor bouncer shoes on. We're not going to play that nonsense here tonight. But what we are going to do is we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to fill this place. He's already here. And can I tell you, the Holy Spirit will come upon you yet this evening. Maybe you just need a refreshing. Can I tell you, he'll give it to you. He'll give it to you because you're his kid. And he wants to bless you. He wants to have an outpouring come upon your life so that you will be filled with moral excellence and power. He wants to furnish you. But there are those of you here tonight that you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit before. Maybe you're even afraid of it. Can I tell you, if it's from God, you don't need to be afraid of anything. So before we move on, with every head bowed and every eye closed, let me ask you this question. Before we move on, is there anyone here that you would be honest with yourself and you'd be honest with the Holy Spirit and you would acknowledge before we go on, I know that I've got to get my life right with Jesus. Friends, just because you came to a Pentecost service doesn't mean that you've given your life to the Lord. We're just giving you that opportunity right here and right now. Is there anyone here that you'd be honest with yourself? I've never given my life to the Lord, or maybe, just maybe, I gave myself to the Lord before, but I know that I'm not living my life for Him, and tonight, I want a fresh start. I want a mulligan. I want a do-over. If that's you here tonight, would you just slip your hand up in the air so I'll know, and we're going to pray tonight. If that's you, just put your hand up in the air, and we're going to pray. Anybody, you ready? 1, 2, anybody else? 3, 4, 5. Anybody else? 6, 7. Come on, friends. This is the time. Anybody going to join this group of people here tonight? All right, before we move into this, let's get you qualified right now. Let's pray this prayer together in this room with one voice and one accord. Let's pray this prayer together. Lord Jesus, come on, somebody work with me. Pray. Lord Jesus, I come to you tonight and I give you my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. This very moment, I declare that I'm a child of God and I'll be with you for all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Now the Bible says this, when just one comes to know him, and this is in the Bible, I think, that all of a sudden the disco ball appears and all heaven rejoices, right? When just one comes to know, and we had 7 that re-up tonight. Can we praise God tonight? Can we praise God tonight? Come on. So now that we're all on the same page, all of us qualify for being filled and endued with this power that's given by God as a gift to you and I for today. So here's what I want us to do. Can you stand to your feet? And stand up as the air conditioning is turned on in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. And could you just lift a hand or two? And could you just begin to say, Lord Jesus, I love you. Come on, just tell him in your own words right now, all across this place. That's right. Come on, don't give up. That's why we're here tonight. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. Come on, friends, don't get tired. Come on, let's press in tonight. This is just the beginning. God's getting ready to do something. Jesus. Now, as you're just beginning to praise God, as you're pressing through and praising Him, you'll feel a shift. There's something that happens. All of a sudden, you'll notice that the Holy Spirit is there, and you may not know what all of it means, but you just know that the Holy Spirit is there. Just begin to worship Him. Just don't press through. Just begin to worship Him all across this room. That's right. Now begin to ask Him right now, Holy Spirit, fill me. Fill me to overflowing right now. Ask Him. Ask Him. He is the giver of good gifts. Now for some of you, it's going to feel almost like a mini volcano that gets ready to erupt out of your mouth. And you feel an unction. You feel like this unction to say something, but you don't know what to say. Friends, can I tell you? That's the Holy Spirit. He's already in you, and now He's just trying to get out. As a Christian, He's already inside of you. Now He's trying to get out. Let Him loose the tongue and just begin to speak as He gives you the ability to do it. Friends, He's not going to take control and make you say anything. You've got to cooperate. Now, friends, before we open up these altars right now, I'm just going to ask you, is there anyone here, before we move on, is there anyone here, as we were just doing that, you got baptized in the Holy Spirit, no one touching you, just minding your own business, and all of a sudden, that just happened to me. You began to speak in another tongue, and you never have done that before. Is there anyone here that happened to you? All right, buckle up your seatbelts. Yes, that happened to you right back in here? God bless you, honey. Here's what I'm going to ask. If you have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence and speaking in other tongues, we're just going to open up this entire side. I want you to come. I want you to come to these altars. We want to pray with you. But friends, can I tell you, there's been people here that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but you feel like those dry bones that we're speaking, and you need a time of refreshing. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to redig that well. If you're here and you need a refreshing of the Holy Spirit to come upon you, maybe you've not spoke in another language for decades. Friends, that's happened, and the enemy wants to rob you. If that's you, I just want you to come and fill this side. Never been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues over here. But over here, you just need a refreshing.